That was beautiful. All right, we're done. We can go home. Wow, thank you guys so much for that beautiful song, because that was quite touching. Well, good morning. It's good to see you all here. Thanks. Well, let me give you guys some encouragement, as you know I always do, to say continue reading the Word of God. But I would like to draw your attention, as you leave here today, we have this nice little card to say, hey, you're invited to church. You know, I pray about it. Pray about someone that you can hand this to. It's right out there. As soon as you walk out of the doors, you look to your left, you can see this little card. It says, you are invited Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., First Baptist Church of Walnut Valley. You know, because this is the place where we come together as a body to worship the Lord. We do it individually when we're out there, but then we come here together to declare the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, it's a wonderful thing to do. So I recommend it. Give it a shot. If you have to, just leave it somewhere and see what happens. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless this time together as we learn what it means for Palm Sunday. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for having us, Lord, be able to come together here today to glorify you. That we can come, we don't have to hide, we don't have to worry about how are we going to get there, but we can come here in peace and in the joy to just come and worship you. Lord, I pray that you convict us, Lord, where we need to be convicted today. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And Lord, I pray that you fill us with hope, love, and peace, so we can live out the faith and declare your majesty and beauty everywhere that we go. Lord, I pray that we're able to take the troubles in our minds and whatever worries that we have, whatever anxieties, whatever problems that we may have to face when we leave, and we can lay it down here, Lord, lay it down at the foot of the cross, because we know that you have conquered it all. Help us, Lord, to focus in on what you want us to know, what you want us to understand. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday. You know, it's an interesting day, because when most people think about Palm Sunday, you typically think about Jesus coming in on a donkey. And that's about, for a lot of people out in the world, that's about as far as it goes. For us, there's a lot more to it. But other big events in Jesus' life, the world kind of sees, kind of grasps, and it's kind of easier to talk about. Like, for example, Christmas. Jesus comes into the world, and there's a gift, and we give gifts. And whether you're a Christian or not, you celebrate that. And, you know, you may not like the Jesus part, but you sure like the gift part. No one ever complains about that. Easter. You know, we celebrate this life, the resurrection. As a church, we celebrate this. In the world, whether they're Christian or not, they probably don't really celebrate the resurrection, but they celebrate this idea of life. The idea of a joy and hope and brightness, that there's a good future ahead. But Palm Sunday, we celebrate that, but what's the significance? Because the world doesn't really go out and celebrate. This is not a holiday. I mean, they're not going around and shaking palms. What's it for us? Now think about it. If someone were to ask you, well, what's the point of Palm Sunday? Is it that he just came in on a donkey? Well, from my understanding of the text, especially in John, I think there's some big principles, big concepts to understand, to see what is this, what is the point of Palm Sunday. And I think some people here in the text, actually most of the people in the text, they miss out on it. So the first thing that I want us to understand, that when you see Palm Sunday, and when you think about Palm Sunday, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ has everything under control. Remember that. Jesus is in control. And nobody can take that away from him. Now I'm going to give you guys encouragement to know that in this world there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of things to freak out about. But don't. Understand that Jesus is still in control, even though the world may be seemingly going out into chaos, it's not. Christ has not given up his authority. Understand that. Remember that. And when we see here in the scriptures, no one can take it away. Because when you look in verse 19, the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." They're looking and talking to one another saying, "We are losing control. We cannot take control of this man." The thing is, they never had control in the first place. But to give you some context of why they're saying this, is about a week prior to Jesus showing up here to Jerusalem, coming in on a donkey, Jesus brought someone to life, Lazarus. He was dead, and then he came back to life. And that shook up the Pharisees. They're like, "We got a problem here." People started talking about this resurrection, this life coming back. Jesus was showing that he was the one that's in control. And they wanted to say, we need to get rid of this guy. This guy is having way too much control of what's going on. So we need to do something about it. So in John chapter 11, verse 53, from that day on, it says, they made plans to put him to death. So they're conspiring, they're figuring out, okay, how do we get this guy in check? How do we make this man live in fear? Because he is showing that he is in control, and we don't like this because we're the ones that are called to be in control. We're the Pharisees. We're the high priests. And Passover is about to happen. In John chapter 11, verse 56, in the temple, people are asking, "Hey, do you think Jesus is going to show up to celebrate the Passover? Do you think Jesus is going to be here?" And the Pharisees said, "You know what? We're going to show Jesus that we're the ones that are in control." So they told everybody who was there to celebrate the Passover. They said in John chapter 11, verse 57, "Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should let them know so they might arrest him." Because they were saying, "Jesus, you don't have the control. You don't have the authority. You don't have the power over the people. We do. You're a nobody, Jesus." Because they thought that they had it all. You know what's funny? You don't tell Jesus what to do. Jesus has the power and the authority to do what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. They thought that they'd be able to kill him on their terms, by their standards, on their day. So they put out this death warrant that if he shows up, we'll kill him. And everyone else is supposed to know that. That's pretty intimidating if you think about it. But see, Jesus, in John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, he says, "I lay down my life and I take it up again. No one takes it up that from me. I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and I have the authority to take it back up. Nobody tells Jesus what to do because he is the one that's in control. Even to the point, moving a little bit forward, just to throw this out there, that when he is standing before Pilate, and he tells, and Pilate tells him, look, don't you understand? I have the power to release you, or I have the power to crucify you. Don't you see this? I'm the one that's in control. Jesus looks at him straight in the eye and says, you don't have any power unless my Father gave it to you. Jesus knows what's happening. Nothing is ever happening by chance. Understand that this is the Jesus whom you love. He knows what's going on in your life. Don't think it's going out of control. Jesus is there. So what does he do to show that he is the one that has the authority, that he is the one that has control over these Pharisees? He shows up. He shows up on a donkey. He doesn't show up with guards. He doesn't show up with swords. He shows up on a donkey and says, here I am. Come and get me. And they can't do anything about it. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. Psalm 33, verse 10, it says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. And the Pharisees, they were freaking out. They're like, he's here. And the people, they're there. We thought we had control over them. And they can't do anything. They just have to stand there and just watch. I can only imagine what's going in their brains. They're like, oh man, we're in trouble. He's here. Proverbs 19, verse 21. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Why do the nations rage? The people plot in vain. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords. He who sits in the heaven laughs. See, Jesus wasn't worried because he had everything under control. Palm Sunday showed that. He says, make your move, guys, because you can't do anything without me approving it. That's the power of Jesus. That's why I could say, Hosanna, Jesus, save me. And that's why I know he can save me by simply showing up. He throws all the plans of the Pharisees out the window, and they can do nothing. And in fact, he shows up, and the people start claiming him as king. They start taking palm branches, saying that he is the victorious one, doing the complete opposite of what the Pharisees wanted. And Jesus didn't even bother to set it up. It just happened because he knows the people. Now, that leads us to our second point. Because the Pharisees didn't understand who they're dealing with. When Jesus shows up here on the donkey, Jesus is also showing that he understands your true need. So he's showing that he's in control, and because he's in control and has the authority and understands the situation, that means that he also understands your need. He understood what the people needed. He didn't want to give them what they wanted. He wanted to give them what they needed. See, the people, they show up. They show up because they heard that this guy named Jesus brought someone back to life. And who wouldn't want to make a king of somebody who can bring people back to life? That's what it says in verse 18. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. They wanted to make this guy the king. I mean, think about that, having an immortal army. I mean, how could you ever lose a battle? See, in their minds, they wanted to get out. What they wanted was a king who could get rid of the Roman armies, who could start making their nation this mighty nation again. See, in their mind, they were seeing Jesus as a king, which they were right because he was king. He was the king they needed, not the king that they wanted. When they're screaming out, Jesus, give us Hosanna now, see, that means save us now, save us now. Jesus is saying, I am going to do that. But it's not what you think. Your situation isn't dictating what you need. See, because in their mind, as Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood. In their mind, they were thinking that this is the guy that was going to save us from these people, from our situation. He was going to restore our kingdom. But what they really needed, that their true battle was in their heart. Ephesians chapter 1, verse Chapter 2, verse 1 says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins. See, the need that we need Jesus. The battle, we always think it's with people. It's always people that we point at. We think that's the battle. That guy's the problem. That gal's the problem. This thing, that political person, whatever, the battle. That's not the battle. The battle's here. It's our heart. And that's why Jesus was showing up on Palm Sunday as king. And he knew his people well. He says, I know what you need. You need a heart change. You need something more. And the people weren't grasping that. See, because, you know, it's interesting, they quote in Isaiah, they quote a psalm that says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. They were declaring him king, but if they knew what they were quoting, it was Psalm 118. They were quoting verse 26, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But if they just went up a couple more verses, they say, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. They weren't seeing him as a true Messiah. If they understood that passage. See, because Christ became the living cornerstone, Christ was coming to give them life. Life in abundance. John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all of its fullness. Jesus came on a donkey to show them that he was not starting a war. Jesus was ending a war, the war between them and God. He was coming on a donkey to show that he was the Prince of Peace, as it says in Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6, it says, he's the Prince of Peace. His ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, says, making peace by the blood of the cross. He came to show that he was the King of Peace so they could have a restored relationship with God. That's why he was there. They were thinking that he was coming to make war against people. And he was like, no, you guys are already at war with God, and I'm going to save you from it. What they needed was someone who can save them from the pits of hell. And Jesus was going to do it. You know, Psalm 33, verse 17 says, the war horse is a false hope for salvation. And by its great might, it cannot rescue. Because Jesus didn't show up on a war horse. He showed up on a donkey, humble donkey. Because Christ was there to establish peace. To establish peace. Not a war. That's my king. That's someone who I follow. It's someone who makes peace. I mean, Paul even says, be at peace with all men as far as it's possible. We're a people of peace. And Jesus is showing it. And it's funny. It's that peace that really shook up the Pharisees. Because they were thinking violence and all this stuff, and the guy just shows up on a donkey. The most peaceful, humble way you possibly can. And they can do nothing about it. The people are loving him. Which leads us to our last point. You see, the disciples, it says in verse 16 of John 12, his disciples did not understand these things at first. Right? Everybody was kind of messed up here. The Pharisees, the people, and even his disciples. They're walking in going like, wow, what's happening here? They weren't quite understanding. They're like, what is he doing? But it was after Jesus was glorified. Then they remembered these things that had been written about him and that hadn't been done. See, Jesus, the purpose of Palm Sunday was to show that, one, he was in control of everything. He knows what two, that he knows what everyone needs. And what they need is the sacrifice. Jesus showed up because Jesus is the sacrifice, not a martyr. A martyr dies for ideas or some political cause. That is not why he came. That's what everyone was missing. The Pharisees thought he was trying to rise up in this charismatic leader. The people thought he was going to be this political leader. And his disciples possibly thought maybe he was going to be some type of martyr because they knew all the chaos he was going to go in. And Peter was like, I'm going to defend you if anyone tries to kill you. And Jesus is like, oh, come on, buddy. You can't do anything. Because he wasn't coming to be a martyr. Jesus came to be the sacrifice that the people needed. That's what Palm Sunday represents. He came in as the sacrifice, not a sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10:10. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. He was the true lamb of the Passover. He is what the whole thing was all about. He is the one to come and save people. When we figuratively take the palms and shake them with the victory, it's because the sacrifice has finally come. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, who loved me and gave himself up for me. See, as Isaiah says, he was wounded and crushed for our sins. The guilt, our guilt, was laid upon him. See, this is the purpose of Palm Sunday, is to show that he shows up, he is in control of the situation, that he is the one to know what the needs are, what your needs are, and the need, that our true need is that we need a sacrifice, and we now have that sacrifice, and his name is Jesus. So we don't have to live in fear. Because though this world will have tons of tribulations moving forward, we always need to remember that he has overcome the world. John 16:33 says this, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace, because he is the Prince of Peace, and he has established peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world through his peace. So you can have peace. You can rest easy and not fret. We can have smiles upon our faces and joy because Jesus is in control of it all and he hasn't lost it. Let us pray as the deacons come forward. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us peace. Thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for giving us this Palm Sunday. Do you remember that? That Palm Sunday represents that you have given the sacrifice needed, your Son. That now we can have peace, we can have victory. We don't have to worry about the problems that lie ahead because you conquered them all. That though the world seems it's in chaos, you have not given up your authority and control over it, and you're ruling over it. Thank you for that hope. We pray this in your Son's name.